Amen. Well, if you're hungry and you've got the Word of God with you, you got your Bibles, I want you to open up to the book of John, chapter 12. Today is week number 4 in our series, Oasis. This is week number 4, and we are wrapping up this series. Amen. It's been a wonderful series, okay? We've learned so much from this word. What was that word starting with an E? Elim. Elim. The very first letter was E, which is enlarge. The second one, launch. Invade. And this morning, it's move. Move. All right? Now, you can turn to your neighbor and you can say, move, but don't move. Move, but don't move seats right now. You are planted, amen? So you stay where you are. When I say move, I mean move in the spirit realm. Move. I think we're ready to move this morning. I'm going to talk about destiny. I'm going to talk about movement. I'm going to talk about destiny that is tied in with movement. In fact, destiny itself can only be fulfilled when there is movement. Now, let me unwrap this a little bit further. In order for you to fulfill God's calling or God's destiny for your life, you must move forward. You must move forward in the direction that God has called you. It requires you to move. A lot of time when we think about move, we think about moving location. Physical moving, right? There's a geographical implication to that term, move. I believe there's one lady here this morning who actually made the move yesterday. Right, Miss Candy? Made a move. It required a physical movement. But destiny itself is tied in with movement. In fact, when you study the word destiny and the word destination, they have the same root word. The same Latin root word, destinare, which indicates movement. So when you talk about destiny, you got to think about something moving. There's a moving part. In order to fulfill your role as an oasis, movement is required. I've studied a little bit about oasis. It's hard for an oasis to run dry. I did not know this. Thank God for Google and so many other research that you can do. The water of an oasis is so connected to the deepest part of the earth where there is a reservoir of water, fresh water, that there is a constant movement of water from the deep all the way up to feed into that oasis. Can we show that picture of an oasis? There's a constant flow of water, a movement of water from the deep that brings it up to the surface. So an oasis is in the middle of a desert, really hot desert. So you wonder, wouldn't that mean that the water would at some point in time evaporate and run dry. Well, you would be wrong. Because of that constant flow of water that is bringing that water from the deep, only the surface evaporates. And it's quickly replenished from water from the deep. I want you to picture yourself as an oasis. You might be right in the middle of a desert. It's really hot all around you. Because your water is running, not because of you, your water is coming in from deep within. You are constantly being replenished because you're connected to that source deep, deep underneath. If you look at an oasis, you don't see any river or anything running away from that oasis. It's there. It's stable, yet full of life. That is an oasis. It's the constant movement of water as you're tapped into the source. In order for Jesus to fulfill his destiny here on earth, movement was required. Jesus could not fulfill his destiny had he stayed in the stable in Bethlehem. He had to move. Jesus could not fulfill his destiny had he stayed in his hometown of Capernaum. He had to move. Jesus could not fulfill his destiny until he moved into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And that's today. Today is Palm Sunday. His last movement into Jerusalem, also known as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So in John chapter 12, verse 12 is where we begin this morning. This is an account of Jesus moving in into Jerusalem. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" Hosanna, when you study the word Hosanna, a lot of times in different translations, you'll see the word praise. Most commonly, we would call Hosanna or we'll translate Hosanna as praise. But the Hebrew text doesn't say praise, but save. Save now. Save now. So the people were crying out as Jesus moved into Jerusalem. They were saying, "Save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." So they were calling out for the King of Israel to save them. Save now. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your King is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." What was so special about that day? What was so special about that day? Because Jesus, this was certainly not the first time that Jesus entered Jerusalem. What was special about that day was the timing of the movement. The timing of the movement. just like a game of chess. Any chess players here? Yeah. Timing of that movement is key. The timing here was a power move, is what you call in a game of chess. It's a power move. A power move that only a king could make. That only a king could make. It was a power move. So over the next 3 hours, I'm going to talk to you about the game of chess. Just kidding. Just kidding. But I want to talk to you about movement. I want to talk to you about movement concerning God's plan for your life. It is important. I think I'm going to use this mic.
All right. That works. I'm going to talk to you about movement. Movement concerning God's plan for your life. Movement has everything to do with timing. God's timing. God's clock on the timing of your movement. In fact, if you want to see God's plan unveil in your life, there's one thing you must do, is to submit. Is to submit to that timing. There is nothing that you could do outside of his timing that would take you faster, quicker, easier to the place where he's taking you. So if you ever felt that you have to do something to get to that destination faster, stop. 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 Submit to the timing of God. Readjust your time to his clock and let him speak to you what step to take, when to take those steps, and when to hold back, when to start listening to his voice, and when to make sure that the voice of the enemy or that distraction that you get constantly from the enemy to be tuned out of your life. Submitting to that timing is important. Jesus could not enter Jerusalem as king until that day. That day was so special that he would not have been able to enter Jerusalem and be king, be called king of Israel, had he come to Jerusalem any other day of the month. It had to be that specific time. Timing is everything in God's plan. When we look at timing in the natural, our minds would default to the chronos of timing. We look at the ticking of a clock. That's how we determine time. But God sees beyond that chronos. God sees chronos, but he also sees kairos. He sees appointed, divinely appointed time. That you only get this kairos time in submission to his timing. Because if we focus on simply the chronos, we get outside of the concept of God's time. This is when we try to manipulate, or what I would say, maybe even try to force the hand of God. To do things prematurely when it's not in God's timing. Timing is important to the fulfillment of God's plan for anything in life. But besides timing, there's another movement that I want to talk to you guys about this morning. That other movement is authority. Authority. Authority is also important. Because when Jesus moved in on Palm Sunday, it was a move to declare his authority as king. It was a move, a king's move, a power move to declare his authority as king. And that was Palm Sunday. And that's today. It was authority over fear. Authority over death. Authority over sin. Authority over sickness, over illness. It was authority. It was a king, a king's authority. Not the kind of authority that we would expect. Or not the kind of authority that the people of the time were expecting. They were expecting an earthly king. They were expecting an earthly king to come and take over, overthrow the Roman authority, and replace that authority with the king of Israel. They were looking for an earthly king. But Jesus came to establish another kind of authority. His movement was in line with what the Father wanted. He was in submission to not only the timing of the Father, but he was also in submission to the authority of the Father. The only way that you can function as a Christian with authority is in submission to the authority that God has placed above you. That's how the kingdom of God works. So Jesus was coming in to establish a new level, a new kind of authority that mankind did not expect. It's the same kind of authority that we have today. Jesus' movement with authority was in humility. He moved in Jerusalem as king of Israel with humility. In fact, he demonstrated his humility as king by choosing a donkey over a horse. Because a king would make his triumphal entrance on a horse and not on a donkey. But Jesus entered on Palm Sunday on a donkey to fulfill a promise, to fulfill a prophecy that was spoken 500 years before that date by prophet Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He's righteous and victorious." Like a king would, right? Righteous and victorious. That's the sign of a king coming in. Righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey. Can you imagine? Jesus When we talk about oasis, Jesus is the oasis of eternal life. He chose humility over pride. He chose humility over pride. Was he righteous? Absolutely. Was he victorious? Absolutely. He was blameless as a person that walked into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. But yet he came and chose humility over pride. He had all the authority that you can think of. Matthew 28, 18 says this. All authority. What's all authority? All. If you study the Greek, all means all. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority was given unto him. So when he stepped into Jerusalem on that day, he stepped in with all that authority that was given to him. He delegated that authority to us. He delegated that authority to you and me. It was a delegated authority that was passed down from Jesus to you and me as oasis. It was the oasis. It is the oasis in us that qualifies you and me to become an oasis for someone else. This authority was delegated or given or passed down to us. In verse 19, in Matthew 28, verse 19, it says this. Go therefore. See, movement. Movement. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Go therefore means move therefore with humility. Move with humility to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them everything that I've commanded. Everything that God has commanded for us to do has to be done in humility. As an oasis, we are called to move in authority. We are called to move in authority, but with that authority comes that great price of humility. With humility is how we move to fulfill God's calling in our life. With humility, it was given to us. And with humility, it must be used. That's how Jesus delegated that authority to you and me. He humbly passed it down to you and me. That's how it was given. And he's saying the only way you can use that kind of authority is in humility. Now you might think, maybe just a few of you, might think that this was only given to the 12, right? Maybe this was only given to the 12 because right there in this passage, he's probably just addressing the 12 disciples. Fair enough. You might be thinking that, but you would be wrong. You would be wrong. It was also given to you and me. That authority was passed down to you and me. In verse 19 of Luke chapter 10, says this. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says this. Behold, I give you the authority. I give you the authority to trample on serpents. To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means do what? Hurt you. Nothing. Absolutely nothing can hurt you because you operate with kingdom authority. That's the type of authority that you and I, we have. That's how we need to operate. That's how we need to operate as individuals, as believers, as sons and daughters of Christ, where we have to operate in that level of authority where we can look at the enemy in the eye and we say, be gone in the name of Jesus. We can look at the enemy, especially in 2020, we had to actually put what we believe into practice. We couldn't just believe one thing and then do another. We had to actually stand on the rock, the word of God, and look at the enemy dead on and actually say, be gone in the name of Jesus. We had to utilize that same authority that Jesus has given and passed down to you and me as believers. It's not something that we just read and we get all excited about it. It's something that we need to put into practice in the face of an attack from the enemy. When the enemy is coming to attack us, we need to be ready to utilize that authority and speak to our fears, speak to our doubts, speak to the enemy and say, my God has given me authority to drive you out. To drive you out. And we had to do this quite a bit. And we will continue to use that same level of authority that Christ has given to you and us and me and everybody, every believer. This is an authority that was handed down to us for whoever believes in it. Because it was not just given to a select few. It was not just given to the 12. It was passed down to all who would say yes to Jesus. But here, in verse 20, that type of authority, we're talking about some kind of authority here, right? That kind of authority came with a caution. Came with a caution. Was humility. Humility. In verse 20, Jesus said this. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's humility. Don't rejoice because the enemy is subject to your power just because you can quote a verse. But rejoice in humility because of that authority that was delegated down to you. That's humility. That's humility. What Jesus is saying, don't get too excited in the wrong way. Don't think you are all that. Don't go crazy. This authority is mine. Strong words right there. Strong words right there. Because if you read part of that passage there, the very first rebuke that Jesus said to his disciple was this. They came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, look, we went around and we cast out demons in your name. And guess what? They fled." You know how what Jesus responded? "I saw Satan fall down like lightning." You know what he was saying? That's prideful. That's what got Satan kicked down from heaven. It was that pride. So the caution here with that kind of authority is humility. With humility. "Behold, I gave you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." Now let me bring this home for us Oasis, sitting right here looking very pretty as Oasis. Humility is the only way we can walk. Humility is the only way that we can carry forward that kind of authority. In James chapter 4, verse 10, it says this. A key word here is humble. "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." We still got a couple more hours, so I don't know. Don't leave. I'm only messing with you guys. Kingdom authority comes with humility. Even man, we need to be in submission to that kind of authority in our home. It revolves around humility. Humility in serving. Humility as the head of the house. Humility as a husband. Humility as a father. It's all about humility in authority. I sent Dawn a text a few days ago. Just a two-word text. You know when you're a man of authority? When you're a man of authority, you don't need to use a lot of words, right? Right, man? You don't need to use a lot of words. My texts are very short, to the point, because I'm a man of authority. So I sent her two words. "Me hungry." I mean, I said those, and I mean, you know, you can put tones in a text. I mean, this was caveman style. "Me hungry." Now, 3 days later, I'm still waiting for a response. Waiting for a response. Silence can be the greatest teacher when it comes to humility. Here's the moral of this. Her silence taught me a valuable lesson. Your legs are not broke. Move. Fix yourself a sandwich. And this is what I did. God will humble you by letting you go hungry until pride is driven out.
God will humble you by letting you go hungry until pride is driven out. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? Many of you don't believe me here this morning. I've got a scripture for you. I've got a scripture for you. Deuteronomy 8:3 says it right there. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. Now you can't tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor. A little humble pie could do a whole lot of good for many of us today. And then the word of God keeps on and says, and then feeding you with manna, a food previously known to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you. To teach you that the people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's humility. Humility will lead you to a hunger for God. A hunger for Him that only Him can satisfy. Kingdom authority has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with ability. Nothing to do with anything that you can do by yourself. Kingdom authority has everything to do with your dependence upon Him. And that's humility. That's humility. I don't know if you knew this, but humility goes hand in hand with obedience. Humility goes hand in hand with obedience. Jesus moved with authority in obedience. In Philippians 2:8 it says this, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. It was humility that led Jesus to Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday. It was humility that took him to Jerusalem that day, riding on a donkey. But it was obedience that led Jesus to the cross. It was his obedience that led him to the cross. Moving to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday was an act of obedience. When you study a little bit of that day, the history or the culture of the Jewish people on Palm Sunday, that will be the same day where they would actually select the lamb that they would offer as a sacrifice. They did that on Palm Sunday. Isn't that interesting that Jesus picked that same day to make his entrance into Jerusalem? The king became the lamb. The king became the lamb, full of authority. Full of authority as the king, yet with humility and obedience to what his mission, his task was. The reason why he came, It reached a point on that day, on Palm Sunday. Obedience is important for you as an oasis, for you to move in authority. James 1:22 says this. But don't just listen to God's word. Don't just listen to this message and say, it's just a message. You must do what it says. You must obey what the word of God says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. Authority only comes when you are humble. When you are humble. When you are humble to what God wants to do. In closing, I'm going to take you all the way back to John chapter 12. The Pharisees who were watching at that time, they saw that kind of authority. Not what they were expecting. They saw a king coming in with an authority that they've never seen before. But yet they knew the king of Israel has arrived. In verse 19, there's a conversation that those Pharisees had among themselves. They were talking because they saw a king coming in. And this is what they said among themselves. You see, you are accomplishing nothing. You are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. The world has gone after him. In other words, our attempts to stop him, our attempts have failed. They failed. The whole world is moving. The whole world is moving. There's a movement. There's a movement of the whole world towards Jesus. You wonder why? Because that kind of authority in humility and obedience, that kind of authority is attractive. People are drawn to that kind of authority. As an oasis. As an oasis, you are called to move with that kind of authority in humility and obedience. And people will be drawn to it. People will be drawn to it. Not because of how amazing you are. People will be drawn to it because they see Jesus in you. Would you please stand? So I'm looking here this morning, and I see you guys as oasis. An oasis within an oasis. Moving forward, full of authority. Because Jesus, the oasis himself, the oasis of eternal life, is in you. So you're going to leave this place here this morning. and you're going to move with authority. You're going to move in authority in your workplace. Because somebody needs to see Jesus in you. There is somebody that is out there who is fearful about everything that is happening in this world. But them seeing Jesus in you will attract them to Jesus. That fear that needs to be overcome in their life will come through a word, a refreshing word, that will come out of you to refresh their soul, to free up their minds, to set them free. There are people out there waiting on you. There are people out there in your workplace. There are people out there at Safeway, Walmart, that are waiting on you, that are waiting on you to speak a word, to speak a word of faith, to set them free. Hallelujah. I've got the banana mic. Hallelujah. I believe you're going to leave this place empowered to accomplish the task that God has set aside for you to do. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the authority that you've given to us, Lord. Lord, we move today. We move with the authority that you've given to all of us as believers. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Don't leave quickly. Spend a little time there in the lobby. Spend time and money. Amen. We need it. The youth needs it. God bless you all.